No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
I'm Andrew Warren, and this is my writer's dossier.
Today in the interrogation chair, it's Andrew Warren, author of Tokyo Black from Boldwood Books. Andrew is the international best-selling author of the Thomas Kane series, and in this episode, we discuss one of the best lines from a Bond movie. It had an impact on him. We talk about his character Thomas Kane and the next James Bond, and how he makes it his goal to take readers on a virtual vacation. And today, we're kicking things off with our rapid-fire questions, so stick around and welcome to the Dossier Podcast. Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Circle here with the Writer's Dossier Podcast, and right now, today, I'm here with a special episode because we have Andrew Warren on the show. Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And to make it even extra special, I'm joined today with a good friend of mine who I just adore. This guy has done a lot for me. He supported me and encouraged me all along the way. He has his own podcast. You know him, Terrence Lehew, host of the Suit Up podcast. Terrence, thanks for popping in this afternoon and asking a couple questions with us.
It's awesome. Thanks for the invite.
It's awesome. As I said in the introduction just a second ago, Andrew Warren is the author of Tokyo Black. But there's a thing about Andrew that you're going to learn about. Hopefully you've read his writer's dossier at thewritersdossier.com. But Andrew, one of the most classic movie lines from the James Bond franchise is from Goldfinger. When Bond is trapped, when he's trapped on a table, he's facing a laser. It's going right towards his crotch. And he says, "Do you expect me to talk?" And Goldfinger says,
"I'll let Terrence take that one."
"No, I expect you to die."
Andrew, what other things about Goldfinger made you stop and think, "I want to do stories that well"?
Well, I mean, when I saw Goldfinger, I was a kid. So I don't even know if I really connected it with writing per se. But the thing about that movie that really just made me an addict for life was the car, you know, the Aston Martin. this car with machine guns and smoke screen and oil slick, like I couldn't believe it. And then I think the movie I saw immediately next, because I was seeing them as they came on TV, you know, as a kid. And the next one I saw was The Spy Who Loved Me, which had the car that turned into the submarine. And that was it. I'm like, okay, this is it. Like, I want to be a secret agent. I want cars that turn into submarines and airplanes and all this stuff. And that kind of got me addicted to James Bond. And from there, you know, I started reading the books and discovering Ian Fleming. And that really, I think, had a big influence on my writing. But that was later on, like in my teen years. But as a little kid, man, the cars were what did it.
Well, the thing that people need to know about you, this is a serious thing. It's not just, hey, I watch a Bond movie when it comes on, but those though who are listening on Spotify or Apple need to hop on over to YouTube and take a look at this podcast on video, because over your right shoulder is what?
This is the Italian Goldfinger poster. So it's a little
Looking at this on video, it is glorious. I mean, how many of those are actually out there in that kind of condition, I wonder?
No,
Terrence, have you ever seen an Italian Goldfinger?
There's an Italian From Russia with Love poster, too, that I'm always on the lookout for.
I've seen that one. It is chef's kiss beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah.
I think that's the thing. Some people say that they're Bond fans, but not everyone has an Italian James Bond poster on their wall. That's how you know you're you have the pin of the month, like club on, that you are a James Bond fan.
Well, you know what I think is the really cool thing about Bond, too, is that there's all like different levels of Bond fans, right? Like you can be a fan of the movies, or you can be a fan of the books, or you know, a lot of people, it's funny, but a lot of people, I think, discovered Bond from the GoldenEye video game. You know,
yes.
Like, that was such a huge cultural thing. So, you know, I love that there's all these different levels you can approach it on. And, you know, I like all of it.
Well, hey, I want to get into Tokyo Black, and I want to get into your stories, but since we're on the Bond theme and we have Terrence here today, I want to have some fun right at the beginning of this podcast, because we kind of fly through and go fast because people don't have a lot of time and we respect your time. I'm going to jump right into something we normally save till the end. Why make people wait till the end? Let's get right to rapid fire. Andrew, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say six names. You tell me who you got. Connery, Lazenby, Moore, Dalton, Brosnan, or Craig? Who are you going with?
I mean, I love them all, man. Like, I don't, there's no Bond I don't like. Like, seriously. But all right, if I had to pick my absolute favorite, I think Dalton actually is underrated. You know, he only got two movies, but in my opinion, and I, like I said, I love all of them. I love all their movies. I love all the different approaches. But I think Dalton in The Living Daylights is the closest to the Fleming character that has ever been seen on the screen.
All right, Terrence, what about you?
Oh, 100%. I think he's spot on. Each of the characters, each of the actors have their own version of it. But I rewatched Living Daylights recently, and Dalton's performance is just so pitch-perfect Fleming that that's hard to get away from.
All right, all right. There we go. Wow. We never have agreements here on the dossier. Okay. Andrew, if being close to Hollywood wasn't a consideration for you, what Thomas Kane location are you living in? Tokyo from Tokyo Black, book one, China in Red Phoenix, book two, Singapore from Code Green. Now, we took the liberty of leaving out South Sudan from book three, Fire and Forget. So where are you living overseas?
Oh, definitely, definitely Tokyo. I mean, Tokyo definitely Black, Tokyo. Like that book was written and generated from my love of Japan, and it's a total love letter to the city. I visited Japan more than any other country, already planning another trip to go back. I mean, I would love to live there. So,
well, definitely. Folks, get ready to talk about Tokyo Black. You're going to learn some really cool things about that book. But rapid fire continues. If you only had three choices for a job in Hollywood, would it be screenwriter, stuntman, or TV game show host?
Well, you'll probably make the most money as a TV game show host, but I think I'd be best suited for screenwriter. So I'll take screenwriter.
If Hollywood wasn't located in California and you were still in the film industry, what town might make you decide to go into another line of work? Gary, Indiana, Port Arthur, Texas, Newark, New Jersey, Steubenville, Ohio, or Huntington Park, California?
Well, I mean, I'm from New Jersey, so I've spent plenty of time in Newark, so I don't need to go back there. Like, that's I've had enough there. What was the first one?
Gary, Indiana.
I'll take Gary, Indiana, because there's a famous song. Right?
Shout out to Gary, Indiana in the Steel Town. All right, last question here in the rapid fire. Your first screenplay was a fantasy satire. See, we go deep cut here on the dossier. Which film or book genre would you love to write the most, even if you had to do it under a pseudonym? Would it be cozy, romantic-y, angsty young adult, or historical romance with a touch of supernatural?
You know, so can I twist one of the answers a little bit? Like, yeah. I think if I was going to do anything, I don't know if romantic-y, I'm not super up on all the niche romance categories. I know there's a million of them. But I think untapped genre is superhero romance. I think like you could do a really cool kind of action-y but still romantic story with like superheroes, and superheroes are so obviously popular in the zeitgeist right now. Like that's something I haven't seen done that I think would have a wider audience than you might think.
Terrence, I think we found your next project, brother.
Yes. Hey, co-authors, some of my favorite comic books are Batman, Catwoman, and that's the comic book. So
exactly. Exactly.
There you
but
go.
It's tough because those characters have such built-in, you know,
yeah.
It would be hard to create that from scratch, but I think it would be a fun challenge.
That would be cool. Superman and Lois Lane. Yeah. Wonder Woman. Someone had to date Wonder Woman. I don't know.
Sure. Right. Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
There you go. Zuni.com is a small, dynamic website development company that has created, designed, and maintained author websites for over 25 years. They specialize in customized WordPress sites for writers of all genres, for both debut authors and those with dozens of books. They also support branding through print and online ads, social media design, custom newsletters, and other promotional materials. While they're in the business of creating functional beauty, they're best known for their individualized attention to clients and details, along with amazing responsiveness. Every web designer has a different style, so to see if Zuni is right for you, take a look at their designs. They're all well-organized, creative, professional, and convey a sense of the author's personality. See what I mean at xuni.com. That's zuni.com. All right, so Andrew, the real book spy calls your Thomas Kane series a, quote, must read. Now, Ryan Steck is legendary in the writing community, so he would know. But you tell me, does 007 need to move over and make room for Thomas Kane?
I don't know about that. Look, I mean, I was very flattered when he said that. And a review said something along those lines, like move over 007. But I think Kane and Bond are very different characters. You know, Kane is a much kind of grittier, dirtier, rougher kind of character. Like, I think sort of what Fleming did when he created Bond was he created sort of what the archetypal hero for Britain would be in that period of time, you know, post-World War II, when a lot of people didn't travel and they didn't go and see other countries. And so he brought all that stuff in as a way to entertain his readers. So I did kind of go through that same thought process when I created Kane. I was like, okay, what would an American reader now like kind of relate to? And, you know, what I came up with, and maybe this says more about me than the average reader, but I came up with a sort of bitter, cynical, betrayed guy, like living off the grid, you know, just kind of barely eking out a living, who then gets like an American pulled back into the field.
So what do you mean by dirtier? You said he's dirtier. Is that like, so Goldfinger's shooting a laser at James Bond's crotch, is Thomas Kane kicking people in the nuts? Is he a dirty fighter?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Kane is not, he's not going to waste time with a funny quip. In fact, one of my favorite scenes in Tokyo Black is he's there's this big fight on a tower and he's hanging, you know, by his hands, and the villain's giving this big monologue. And, you know, a character like Bond would make some sort of quip or joke, but Kane just tells the guy to F off, you know, and that's kind of, that's more of his personality.
Right. I think there's an audience for that. Hey, your first book in the Thomas Kane thriller series is out on May 6th. It's from Boldwood Books, and it already has thousands of 5-star reviews. What's the history behind this series, Andrew, and what are you planning next for Kane?
So I originally wrote the series and self-published it on Amazon. You know, I'd always wanted to write a book, and I was at this point in life where I was in a job I didn't really like. And I'd just gone through a divorce, and it was kind of a low period, you know. And like one night I just woke up and I was like, I kind of had the Shawshank Redemption kind of moment, that get busy living or get busy dying kind of feeling. Like, it was late at night. I woke up and I was like, you know, I want to write a book. You know, I'm not happy in my job. I'm going to write a book and use that as a kind of mental escape. You know, that was my thought process. And so I had already been to Japan. I really wanted to go back, but I couldn't at that exact, you know, point in time. So I said, all right, I'll set the book in Japan, and that'll be like my mental vacation to Japan. I was like, well, what kind of story would fit in Japan? And of course, spy thriller came to mind. And I just got like super inspired. And I just started writing down all these ideas at, you know, 3-4 in the morning. And almost the entire book, like, I mean, it was only like 1 or 2 pages, but the book was there. You know, the outline was basically there. Like the character's name, the title of the book, what the title meant. That was all there from that first night of brainstorming. And around that time, are you familiar with Barry Eisler and his John Rayne books?
Someone just made a Barry Eisler reference. Yeah.
So that was right around the time he was talking about self-publishing, which I had never really thought of. And I really loved Barry's books, and I was reading his blogs and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting idea. And so I already was working in Hollywood, and I'd kind of gone through that gatekeeper system. I had screenplays that had been optioned, TV shows that had been optioned, and that's a very long, drawn out, frustrating process. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to do that. I'm going to try this self-publishing thing. So I self-published the book. It did okay. I wrote another one, the sequel, Red Phoenix. That did really well. And I went through about 4 or 5 of them, kept the series going. I also wrote some other genres on the side. And I would kind of space that out. Like, I would work on books for a while, then I would work like a post-soup job, like a freelance entertainment job for a while, and I would kind of alternate. And recently, Boldwood Books just approached me, and they were looking to beef up their thriller division, and they liked the books, and we worked out a deal. And so they redid them. We did new edit passes, mostly the same, nothing really creative, but we tweaked a few things just to keep them current, like technology and stuff that had changed. New covers, and all of that is leading up to a brand new Kane novel, which I'm working on now. And we're contracted for 2 more books after that. So the Kane series will continue.
Dude, congratulations. Like I said, thousands of reviews on Amazon. People definitely need to check it out. Now, Terrence, you did some Amazon stuff, right? You did some of your own. What was your experience like? Because, I mean, you could be right behind what Andrew's doing here. Someone's going to contact you and say, hey, Terrence, we love your stuff. Let's do something.
I'm sure all the emails I've gotten from movie studios, quote unquote, asking to option my book are entirely real.
You know, it's funny. I got that. I mean, I've gotten tons of scam ones, but I got a real one recently.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, but those things, like, I'm telling you, I've worked, you know, from working in the business, like, everyone's always looking for stuff, but the percentage of projects that makes it through all those hurdles is so tiny. You know, it's like a lottery. So I try not to really focus on that side of things.
I mean, okay. If James Bond nearly didn't make it to screen, that tells, like, it gives good perspective.
Right, exactly. And all the trouble of that series, even with all the success it's had, it's still had these, like, choke points, you know, over the years where it almost goes away and then it comes back.
Okay, I actually have a question for you about that. So we had Sean Connery return in the Battle of the Bonds with Never Say Never Again.
Sure, and Octopussy.
And against Octopussy. Which James Bond actor, besides Sean Connery, would you like to have seen make a return as a slightly older Bond in a film feature?
That's interesting.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Eon Productions. Well, none of them are Eon Productions anymore. Sure. But it doesn't have to be the main series. It could just be a...
Terrence just earned his stipend.
Yeah, I would like to see Dalton give it another shot, like, right? Because he's such a great actor. He's aged really well. Like, I think he could be a really cool, like, grizzled, older, rougher Bond, you know, but still kind of suave and smooth.
Well, he just did Yellowstone's 1923. He was the villain in that. He would be great.
We kind of got that with Craig already, right? Like in his series, he starts young and then there's this big time gap and then he's old at the end. So he sort of did it within his own series.
Question. You know, we're talking about Bond and Tokyo Black. You wanted to go with Japan. Let's not forget Connery had the makeup and they had the prosthetics.
You only live twice.
That's
actually,
all right.
So I've got
Tokyo
a question
Black.
For. Can I throw a question at Terrence?
Yeah.
Terrence, like if they were going to remake one of the Bond films that was already made, but this time they were going to stick to the book. Exactly.
Moonraker?
You'd pick Moonraker? Okay.
Instantly Moonraker.
You Only Live Twice, because I love that book. Like, I think it would be so cool to do it the way they did it in the book. But Moonraker is great too.
Book You Only Live Twice is easily one of my top three. Like, it's so good, and the Garden of Death is just such a great set piece.
Love it. Andrew, one of the things you do with your thrillers is you take people on what you call a virtual vacation by painting an exciting story picture with sizzling international locations, suspense, action. How do you decide on going with either a domestic or an international location or setting?
Well, I mean, so it all, like the whole series kind of started from that desire, right? Like I said, like I wanted to go on a vacation. So you picked
South Sudan.
Yeah, not South Sudan, but I really wanted the book to feel like that. And so that was just one of, you know, like when you write a book, like you've got certain goals, like certain things you focus on, you know, like you can't do everything. So you got to have your priorities. And for me, one of the priorities was to really make the locations come alive. And I think the international thing, it just started with Japan, and that I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed bringing that to life. And I was really encouraged by the reviews that would mention like how they really felt like the location was very vivid to them. Like I remember one woman in a review said, I've traveled all over the world, but I've never been to Japan. And after reading this book, I bought my ticket, you know, like, so that was, I mean, that was just one of the greatest things I could hear.
That's cool.
So I wanted to do that experience with other places that I'd been. By the time the book came out, I had been to China and I'd been to Vietnam. And so, and I just loved those locations, but I do want to try to do that to a domestic location as well. And so the book, I've talked over several book ideas with the publishers and we've got rough kind of ideas. Things may shift around a little bit, but there's definitely going to be a primarily domestic set Kane book coming up in the near future. And I think it's going to be mostly set, you know, a little bit in the East Coast and then up in the California, like Big Bear Lake area, like in the mountains. So that's maybe a little bit sort of like a Rambo vibe, you know, First Blood kind of thing. So that's sort of something I'm looking forward to down the road.
I don't know. I kind of see Thomas Kane going through the mean streets of Gary, Indiana, and you could film it on set.
Hey, my grandparents were from Gary. Yes, the mean streets of Gary would be a story.
That'll be the act two twist. Like, you'll have to like head off to Gary.
Wrap things up here. You've been a post-production supervisor on hundreds of film and TV episodes. What does that involve? And what's the most interesting thing about it? Give us some inside baseball there.
So post-production, so like basically when you're making any like a movie or a TV show, everything's divided up into three distinct phases. There's pre-production, which is when you're writing, you're making the schedules, you're doing the budgets, you're locking in all your locations and actors. There's production, which is when you're literally shooting the show or movie. And then there's post-production, which is everything after that. people think about like editing, you know, that's obviously a big part of post-production, but it's also where you write the score and all the visual effects happen. And you might do audience testing and reshoots and that sort of thing. Color correction, audio mixing, like that all happens in post-production. So as a post-supervisor, you're sort of making sure that the production during production is not making any decisions that are going to come back later and bite them in the rear, you know, that you are going to be able to take this all the way through post-production and have a finished product, which you would think would be simple, but actually gets very complicated when you're talking about video formats and compatibility with different types of editing software and making sure that you've got clean audio and clean plates so that if they want to superimpose effects later, that they actually shot what they needed and they don't have like someone's face right in the middle of it, stuff like that. Like, so it's just a very kind of nitty gritty detail oriented job. And then once you actually get into post, you know, I oversee the editors. I usually sort of work with the hiring process with the editors. Like, I don't actually hire them, but I'll try to bring in candidates for the director and producers to hire and then just shepherd it through that editing process and through notes with networks, like, and making sure that those notes get tracked and get applied. And then all the way through what we, the final thing we call is QC. When the show's finished, you've got your master copy, whatever that may be, a digital file or a tape. And then that has to go through a process called QC, where you make sure that everything looks right, everything sounds right, there aren't any glitches or, you know, missing shots or dropped frames or any of a million technical errors that can crop up.
Wow. So it can make or break the movie.
Absolutely. I mean, movies are made in post. I mean, it's a common kind of cliche in Hollywood. They say movies aren't finished, they escape, you know? And so like you eventually just sort of run out of time and have to say that, hey, there's no more time, there's no more money, you're done. And so the more efficient you can be in post, the more you get done in that time you have allocated.
That's so fascinating. I'm a huge film guy. I read, you know, hundreds of books on deployments and things like that. So I love both, but the film angle really intrigues me. And I know Terrence is a huge film guy too, and he's written books himself. So I thought this is a perfect combination of the three of us to come on together. So
and a Bond fan. So like, I mean,
yes,
huge. Seriously, go to Terrence. What's the best website for people to go to get some of your Bond stuff?
TerrenceLahue.com.
There you go, TerrenceLahue.com. And AndrewWarrenBooks.com is where you want to go to find out about Andrew Warren and Amazon as well. All the books are there. You can get them from the website or straight to Amazon. Seriously, click, follow, bells, whistles, all those things, subscribe, anything you can do to follow Andrew Warren and to know what's going on. And where can we find you on social media, my friend?
I'm Andrew Warren Books at Facebook and Instagram.
There you go. Facebook and Instagram. Follow Andrew Warren. Don't miss a thing. And don't forget, May 6th, Tokyo Black coming out.
Please check it out. I hope y'all enjoy it.
Yeah, Terrence, special shout out to our super duper rotating co-hosts, Terrence Lahue and Andrew. Thank you for joining us here on the Dossier podcast. And everybody, be sure to check out his personal dossier at thewritersdossier.com. Everyone, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Dossier podcast. Remember, be good and be safe out there. And here is your official Dossier safety brief. Don't subtract from the population. Don't add to the population, unless you're trying. Stay out of the hospital, the newspaper, and jail. If you end up in jail, establish dominance quickly. The Dossier podcast is a production of The Idea Academy.